You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
The following is a paid program. This program may contain adult themes and nudity, and you can never go wrong with that. Speaking of always being right, views expressed on this program are those of life-experienced mechanics. Continued listening may cause addiction and, in rare cases, a rash. Discretion is advised.
A mechanic tries to fix your car, no matter if you're near or far. He'll change your oil or fix your flat. And you do it just like that.
Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio.
Okay, Big Al, hit it!
Yeehaw!
Isn't it nice to have a friendly voice back in the studio?
Thank you very much. And I do want to say that I couldn't do that when I was in Portugal because, you know, they got all kinds of electronic devices to watch your speed. And
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be peeling out there,
but
I'll tell
actually,
you.
I was talking about having Terry here.
But I'm bummed. Where's the drum roll?
Terry O'Keefe's joining us from Omvik, and we're going to talk about some interesting stuff. They had a mystery shopper out there doing his shtick.
No, they knew who the shopper was, but the dealership didn't know who the shopper was.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about negative equity in your lease car. That's also a great subject. And all-in pricing, which is the continual theme with Omvik. We know when you see that price in the paper, if it comes from the dealership, they have to honor it when you walk in the front door. So we'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
To Fred DeFrancesco, our insurance specialist, is going to be calling in. And the reality is we're going to talk about your classic car if it's covered under your standard automotive policy.
Oh.
So if you write off your 1930 Duesenberg
right.
with a retail value of $2 million and change,
mm-hmm.
but your only car is covered for like $50,000, you're in trouble. So we'll talk about that.
And I'm here too. So, again, we've got how many between us? 100 years of experience fixing cars?
More than I can remember. I think that's a good sign of old age. Huh?
But you can't remember. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Tune in, call in. We'll be right back.
All righty, we're back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. My name is Dave Redinger. I'm with Alan Gelman.
That's
and
me.
Terry O'Keefe from Omvik. And behind the board is Sebastian. I never know Sebastian's last name, but that's good because I can't write him that way. Mystery shopper, that's where you take somebody out and they pretend to be a car buyer. And you're actually looking for, what, compliance with the rules?
Exactly. And we sent a couple of mystery shoppers to the Ottawa region earlier this summer. And they were specifically shopping at new car dealerships mm-hmm. and looking for compliance with the all-in pricing regulations.
And so what'd you find out?
Over 25% of the dealers in Ottawa were not compliant. So
wow.
In other words, what the mystery shoppers did, they went to the dealership's website, looked at the prices for vehicles, and when they went to the dealership, you know, could they buy the vehicle for that price?
Right.
And in over 25% of the cases, there were hidden fees or additional charges that weren't included in the advertised price.
Which is totally against the rules.
And that's illegal, exactly.
Interesting. So what was the dealer's excuse?
Well, because this was done strictly for research, it wasn't done for enforcement.
Ah,
that's to be followed up on.
I understand.
But it allows us to alert consumers to the issue. And that's, you know, that our campaign is running right now. We're still trying to raise consumer awareness for all-in pricing. I mean, we've got over 8,000 dealers in the province, each of them running hundreds of ads each day. There's no possible way we can review every ad. It's just not possible. But if consumers know dealers can't add fees on top of the advertised price other than HST and licensing, if consumers know that, that's going to stop dealers from doing it because those consumers are going to go, you can't do that. I'm out of here. I'm going to go shop somewhere where they are complying with the law.
But there is a caveat here. If the ad is from the manufacturer, that doesn't work that way. You have no legislation for that.
That's absolutely right, and that's a really important point. If the ad isn't from a dealer or a group of dealers, if it is from the manufacturer, the Motor Vehicle Dealers Act, which is what requires all-in pricing, doesn't apply.
How does someone who's reading the newspaper, for example, know the difference, though?
If it's got a dealership's name,
okay,
then it's going to have to comply. Or if it's got a group of dealers' names, or if it said, you know, the GTA, you name the manufacturer, Dealers
mm-hmm.
Association, then it's from dealers. But if there is no mention of any dealers in that ad, it's probably a manufacturer's ad. And then now some manufacturers, you know, and I commend them, actually include, you know, the freight in their advertised prices.
Right.
Others don't. And so you really have to be careful when you're reading a manufacturer's
ad. You know, what I find confusing is $75,000 off. You know, like, I don't understand where that comes off and how that works. And I'm in the trade. So, like, I saw one ad for Dodge, $17,000 in discounts. Where is the discount applied?
And that's a really, really good point, because if it's the price that's being advertised, that price has to be available to everyone.
Okay,
so if there are employee discounts, and I'm not talking about like Ford's employee pricing right now, that does apply to everybody. But it would be illegal for a dealer to advertise a price that's not available to everyone.
Okay.
That would actually be misleading advertising. And we do see it. We actually had a Windsor dealership, I think it was a Windsor Chrysler dealership, just last month was fined $3,500 for doing exactly that, for advertising prices that you couldn't walk in and get the vehicle for. Mm-hmm.
But I understand the other issue, too, is that a lot of times they'll advertise the car, and then the price is legitimate,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yeah.
But you can't find a car like that.
Oh, yeah.
The Nissan Micra was like that.
They ran
they were price. Advertising that you could buy a car for $10,000 or whatever kind
under
of crazy
10,
price it was.
Oh,
was it? Except that there were no cars around.
Yeah. George from the APA refers to those as unicorns.
Mm-hmm.
but yes, if a dealer is advertising that car and they don't have it in stock, mm-hmm. then the ad should clearly and prominently indicate that a factory order is required or a dealer locate is required, so that the consumer doesn't go to the dealership expecting to be able to see it.
Drop the price and drive it and take it away within 2 days.
Exactly.
I don't know if the law has changed or not, but when we were as a dealership, when I was working at a dealership, say the car was $10,000 and it had a factory discount of $2,000, we'd have to write up a $10,000, tax $10,000, and then discount at the bottom. Is that still it applies?
And that is dependent on the manufacturer program.
Okay.
That's not something that's governed by the MVDA.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a bag of snakes, really.
It is possible you could be paying tax on the full amount before the discount is applied. That is possible,
So it's a very confusing situation, especially when you have factory discounts or incentives and da-da-da-da-da. It blows my mind. It's just absolutely confusing.
Yeah, and that's why I encourage consumers to go to OMVIC's website. We've got some really, really good resources there explaining the advertising rules and how they apply, so that you know going in what a dealership, you know, what the expectation should be. And I meant what I said. You know, if you went to a dealership and you've got an ad from that dealer and it says $20,000, and when you get there you find out, well, it's $20,000, but there's an extra $600 or $700 for these fees.
Yes,
that dealership doesn't deserve your business. Walk away and shop elsewhere.
Oh, quick question. Sometimes the color of the car can be change the price of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they charge $200 for paint.
Yeah, premium paint.
Yep.
So it has to specify in the ad
that if
a specific color.
If it's a new vehicle ad, it should. excuse me. It absolutely should indicate that if that price is for the black one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're. That was another thing I read this morning. You know, when they're giving fuel economy figures.
Yeah.
Apparently they do the tests with premium fuel.
Right.
Lorraine wrote about this.
Uh-huh.
Lorraine Summerfield. They do the tests with premium fuel. If you're running the car with regular fuel, you may not be getting the same numbers as they say you should. So it does make a difference. Remember you had that Nissan?
Yeah.
It ran better on premium than it ran on
It did, but that manufacturer called for it. But
okay.
My newer car... I use the cheaper gas. I hope nobody's listening.
Yeah.
And it works fine.
What are you talking
about?
Everybody's listening.
I thought you were going to try to tell me that blue cars get better gas mileage than yellow cars.
I would imagine white cars get better mileage.
Why is that?
Because the air conditioner's not working as hard.
You think?
Yeah. Everybody in Florida drives a white car. Where'd you get that car? Florida. Gilbert is on the phone. He wrote me an email yesterday.
Oh.
And I had him call in, and we're going to talk about the maintenance costs on specifically a Subaru. It's like, wow. Knock you out. It seemed worse than you were. Your shop.
This is Alan from Glen Allen Motors, and we're tired of getting slighted, but we're going to come back after this break anyways. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back. Garage doors wide open. By the way, I was having lunch with a friend yesterday, and we're talking about what to buy your wife as a birthday present.
Mm-hmm.
So what I usually do is I go to her jeweler, and I go, give me a watch for $300.
Right.
And he says, what kind of watch you want? And I go, I don't care. Just give me a watch for $300.
Right, because she's bringing it back.
She's bringing it back, yeah. Right? That's the reality. I says, you're going to see her the next day, and she's going to come back with the watch and pick what she likes, and maybe she's going to add a little money to it, and bingo, she goes.
That's a given.
So we were talking about what to get your wife that she will never forget. And he says, get her nothing.
You're right. She will never forget that.
She will never.
As long as you live.
And I said that to my wife this morning, and she says, yep, I will never forget. And it's so true. We have Gilbert.
Speaking of maintenance.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't marital maintenance. This is automotive maintenance.
Gilbert. Is it Gilbert on the phone?
Yes, it is.
Oh, not Gilbert, but it's Gilbert. I got an email from you last night, which I thought was fascinating. Please go ahead.
Yes, I bought a 2016 Subaru last year in August, and I didn't think much of the – I didn't ask about the maintenance schedule or anything.
Mm-hmm.
This just started 6 months ago, which the first one was $80. And that includes synthetic oil. I don't know if I needed synthetic oil, but they gave me synthetic oil after 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I came for the second one, which was rotation of tires and checked brakes and all that stuff, then it came in at $350.
Right.
And it sort of started escalating. And then I got to another one at C, although that's only at $120,000. That's $675.
Mm-hmm.
And then you read at 220,000 kilometers checked, that's $1,100. Now, I was just wondering if that other car dealerships follow the same maintenance, or this seemed to be excessive, because if I followed all these steps that they suggested, by the time I would reach 220,000 kilometers, it would cost me $10,000.
Wow.
But I think what you've just said, and I don't know if you caught it yourself, but you said what they suggested, okay?
Yes.
So in other words, the dealership, now the individual dealership, we're not talking about a manufacturer, we're talking about an individual dealership, they're suggesting that you do the work, but it doesn't mean you have to that there's no mandatory pressure for you to maintain your warranty to do that amount of work.
That's okay. What I was concerned about.
So it wouldn't blow his warranty?
No. I mean, there are obviously – here, what you can do is this. Your manufacturer, like every manufacturer, prints a manual, okay?
Right.
And it will have the list of service that is required to maintain your warranty.
Correct.
And this is where the dealership, you see, can add extra items, and it's not part of maintaining your warranty at all.
Yeah, and you don't have to actually take it to the dealership as long as the person servicing your car is a licensed technician.
Exactly.
Right.
So as long as they stick to what the manufacturer recommends, mm-hmm. you know, you will be covered. Like, in other words, the manufacturer who's giving you the warranty, they can insist that you maintain your car, but they're not going to or can't insist where you have it maintained.
Right. And you also have to keep records. You have to make sure that you have impeccable records that the car has had all the services done. On the other side of the coin, though, you've lost contact with the dealer, and as far as recalls and upgrades, you don't get that opportunity.
Well, I mean, if they sold him the car, they've got his information.
Yeah.
You know, so they're going to know from that perspective how to get in touch with him if a recall happens.
Recall, yes.
I was talking to my local garage,
yes.
which had been servicing my 2000 Legacy for years.
Uh-huh.
And this said there was the second time that someone had come to them this week with Niagara Subaru
mm-hmm.
with this maintenance schedule. And the guy, mm-hmm. you know, said, the chap who came to see the mechanic said, well, I'm on a fixed income. I don't know if I really can afford all this. But then if I don't follow their maintenance schedule, what am I on the hook for? And the guy said, well, he didn't know what to say. Because things are getting more and more complicated, and you always have to read the fine print of everything. before you make a decision.
Well, like in, I'm saying in this situation as well, I would check your owner's manual. If you need to go onto the manufacturer's website, they will specify the minimum that you need to do to maintain your warranty. And again, in the dealer's, you know, when we're talking about the dealership, they have big fancy buildings. Weren't we talking about how much the overhaul
big stuff,
was? And, you know, and in theory, and if you listen to them, they'll tell you, you know, we're practically giving away the cars. Well, if you're giving away the cars, you got to be making some money somewhere. So, hey, they're going to be trying to get your service business.
Yeah, or they're going to kick back from the manufacturer if they make their bonuses.
Well, and again, you know, they're a business like anybody else, and you have the option whether to shop there or not to shop there.
Okay, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about negative equity in a lease.
What's that mean?
Being in the ditch. And so, I mean physically.
So you don't need a tow truck? Or?
Yeah. We'll talk about that. And then following that later, Freddie DeFrancesco from Fairview Insurance is going to talk about classic car insurance. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Alan, take us out.
Oh, yes. This is Dave's Corner Garage. And we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. The headline says 100 million Volkswagens are vulnerable to hacking, according to Motor Trend.
Yeah, but would you want one?
To hack a Volkswagen? I'm not sure. How does it work? Well, hackers can use a piece of radio hardware to intercept the signal from your key fob. Mm-hmm. So when you press the key fob, it understands and eavesdrops on the signal, repeats it, and can step into your car. And I don't know. We were just talking about it. Can you actually drive it away?
Yes.
Whoa. Okay. So this is pretty serious.
Yeah.
So the remedy is, I guess, contact your Volkswagen dealer and say, what happens now?
Well, I did see on the interweb, and it must be true because it's
On the web. Anything on the web
that they said that you should wrap your key fob in aluminum foil or something, and somehow that's going to keep.
Do you know that trick where you hold it up to your head? It up to your head, and you can get your car to start even though you're farther away from it.
Yeah.
Well, the reason is because we're so full of water that the water actually amplifies the signal. So it actually does work.
Really?
Yeah.
There's some other things you really should do though. if you're trading in a car, make sure that you deprogram the garage door openers, your phone that's been downloaded, your GPS that says where home is. So if you've got your garage door openers programmed, you've got your GPS that knows where home is. Please erase all that information. Delete that information before you trade that car in. Yeah.
That's right, because you know the map is in there, and it's like, go home.
Yep.
So it takes you to the last guy's house.
Yep.
And then you press the button on the mirror, and it opens the garage door. Yeah.
And so it's in those owner's manuals you were talking about, how to delete that information. Yeah. And it's important to do it.
RTF, by the way, is read the effing manual.
And Sally said if you knock three times, you're in for a good time. You know?
Alrighty, we're going to talk. Well, one thing is the auction is coming up, the classic car auction at the International Center.
Was that where you bought that Duesenberg you were talking about in
the first half? No, actually, my dad once bought a 31 Lincoln Phaeton there.
Mm-hmm.
I should tell you that story before we go back to the thing. So he buys his 31 Lincoln Phaeton. It was the highest price paid for that car. At that time. Now they've escalated like crazy. But anyways, so 5 years later, we've had the car in storage. What happened was because of inflation, we bought a lot of antique cars to try and get around inflation. A guy pulls up in a BFI truck, and he says, do you have a Lincoln Phaeton? And my dad says, yeah, we have it, but wasn't for sale. He says, I'd like to buy it. What do you want for it? So my dad figures out what the interest costs were and things like that, and he says, here's the number. The guy leaves him a check for $5,000, and he says, I'll tell you the rest of the story when I come back. So next day he comes back by taxi with a certified check for the balance, and he says, that car was my father's car.
Oh.
I had to sell it because I got a contract to build BFI trucks. I now made enough money to buy my dad's cars back. Thank you very much. You'll never forget the guy in the garbage truck that bought the Lincoln Phaeton.
Wow.
So those are great stories. So let's talk about negative equity. You've leased a car and you're in the ditch.
Yeah, so what's happened? I mean, people today, or some people today, have become what we refer to as monthly payment junkies. They see that finance offer and they go, I can buy that car for $150 biweekly. That's an amazing deal.
But that's all they're looking at.
And that's all they look at. What they don't realize that in order to get that payment, the loan term is, you know, 8-9 years.
Mm.
So let's say you buy that $30,000 car. But you're driving a lot, you commute a lot, so you've put 200,000 kilometers on it in 4 years. So it's diminished, it's depreciated greatly, but you still owe, you know, $18,000 on that car, but you go to trade it in because you need a new car because your warranty's up, and the wholesale value for the car is $7,000, mm-hmm. but you still owe $18,000. So you're going to take that $11,000 that of negative equity that you still owe on the car that's above its value and roll it into the loan for the next car.
Right.
So you buy another $30,000 car, so you got the $30,000 loan plus the $11,000 that you owed on the old car. So now you got a $41,000 loan for that $30,000 car. And then it happens again four years later.
4 years later.
It snowballs.
So what's your way out is to go bankrupt.
Well, what will happen one day is for many consumers is they're just simply not going to be able to replace that car, and they're going to have to keep driving it.
Yeah, that's one. And then and when Equifax gets a hold of it and sees that you're, you know, so far in the ditch, it actually affects your credit rating, your FICO score.
It does, and we've also seen consumers that have been harmed because they've got, you know, thousands. I'm talking like $20,000 in negative equity,
yep.
and they write the car off. And so the bank pays them the $30,000 that the car was worth, but they owe $50,000. And now they have to come up with the $20,000 to satisfy the bank. So negative equity, it really is an issue, and it's caused by long-term loan periods. That's not to say that it's wrong for everybody. But if you're someone who's buying a car that might depreciate quickly, or you're someone who puts, you know, above average kilometers on that car that's going to cause that kind of depreciation, you really need to be very, very aware of this potential pitfall.
So basically in leasing, or could it be in financing too?
Well, this is financing we're talking about. With leasing, you get into the extra kilometer penalties, of course, which can, again, be thousands and thousands of dollars at lease end.
And condition problems. You know, it comes back, so it's damaged.
Above average normal wear and tear, absolutely.
So there you go. You got to read the fine print.
Buy in haste and repent in leisure. I think that's a good way to talk about
it. Like that Cheech and Chong routine. $1 down, $1 a week for the rest of your life.
Buy here, pay here. Dan Crease Chevels. We got the big ones, your small ones, your Chevys, your Jimmys, your Vans.
Got no money, don't make no difference. Come on down.
All righty, we'll be right back with Fred DeFrancesco from Fairview Insurance.
We'll be right back.
All righty, we're back, and we're listening to Alan's stories.
That was a good story.
Fred DeFrancesco from Fairview Insurance is on the phone. Fred, how are you?
Hello, gentlemen. You too, David.
Oh, thank you so much. A little humor there.
I had to pay Fred to say that. You know?
We're going to talk about classic cars. So antique or a classic car is covered by insurance. I guess it's a special policy, Fred?
There isn't a special policy, David. It's the identical policy that you have on your vehicle, new, old, it doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. It's an owner's policy in the province of Ontario. What we do to the policies where we're insuring vehicles that have a huge market value is we apply a specific endorsement to that policy, and that endorsement is called the agreed value endorsement, which is an Ontario policy change form number 19A, and I emphasize 19A, not 19.
Now, Fred, who has to come up with this actual number? Do you have to the insurance company obviously is going to want to look at the car and do an assessment of it. But when the purchaser or when the owner himself has an idea of what it's worth, do you have to get some kind of, you know, letter
assessment
of
appraisal.
Some kind?
Appraisal.
Thank you.
An appraisal, Norm. An insurance company, if you went to them and you said, well, listen, I've got a 1967 Corvair and Monza, and it's worth $22,000, the underwriter on the other end may say, well, look, do you have any documentation that states that's what the market value is today? Mm-hmm. Of course, you can produce that, and the endorsement is then attached to your specific policy, and that endorsement will have that appraised value on it. And what you may want to do every year is to make sure you update it with a new appraisal, not necessarily every year, but every couple of years or so.
Yeah, I guess because the value actually could change substantially, either up or down.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But there's a word of caution in all this.
Mm-hmm.
And the caution is this. Most insurance companies in the past, and I don't know whether it was due to lack of knowledge or what have you, were applying the incorrect endorsement to your policy. So if you do have an insurance policy and you do have a classic vehicle or an antique vehicle insured on that policy and you do have the endorsement, make sure it's the 19A and not the number 19 endorsement, which is in fact a restrictive endorsement.
Well, when you say restrictive, you're talking in terms of how often you can drive the vehicle or how
much
you can?
Not at all. Not at all. You can drive the vehicle as many times as you want. Statutes don't put limitations on liability as to how far and when and how you can drive your vehicle. The 19 endorsement, Alan, is an endorsement that goes back a number of years. Do you remember back in the day when we would buy a van for $9,000 or $10,000, then pour $15,000 into it by adding captain seats and
shag carpet.
And so
you know what shag carpet costs these days? Yeah, go ahead.
When you called your insurance company, you said, "Look, I've got a 1981 van stripped, and you would pay premiums based on that 1981 van stripped." Now, 6 months into owning that van, the darn thing was worth $20,000,
right?
Because of the amount of things that you put into it. Well. Mm-hmm. What a good insurance company would have done is apply this 19 endorsement, this restrictive endorsement, to say, hey, you've got a van, it's worth $10,000 new, and in the event of a loss, we're not going to pay any more than $10,000.
Right,
because you have no
it's
proof.
It's restrictive, and this is why listeners should make sure that they look at their policy and make sure that it's the 19A they have on their antique vehicle and not the 19.
Okay, say my Corvair got whacked. How do you repair that in a policy like this? Like where,
in a policy where it's valued, David?
Yeah.
Well, if it's written off, they will pay the amount that it has been appraised at.
But they wouldn't repair it?
Listed on the certificate of insurance.
But I'm thinking that the car is repairable.
Well, let's assume the car is repairable. First of all, if it's repairable under its total loss value, it will be repairable.
Uh-huh.
Let's assume that they can't find a part for that particular vehicle.
Right.
The endorsement's very clear in saying that they will pay what that part is worth if they can't find it anywhere. Let's be honest here. An insurance company is not in the business of repairing. They're in the business of compensating you for your loss.
Right.
Make good, not new, though.
That's correct.
Well,
they will make new if that part is available, of course, and it can be found.
Okay, so what's the word betterment when it comes to something like this?
You know, most insurance companies today, when you're looking at your everyday vehicle, not necessarily an antique or anything of that nature, you get involved in a minor accident, they repair the vehicle. They don't charge you any betterments on it. Years ago, they did.
Yeah.
You might have a fender with a little bit of rust on it. Today, you take it into the shop, it gets fixed, it gets paid, and that's the end of it. Years ago, they may reduce that loss by 10-15%, depending on the damages that were on that car prior to the loss.
Okay. Fairview Insurance, phone number
4727.
Yeah, 905-270. I've been with him for like 30, more than 30 years.
Don't say that.
40 years.
You had the same phone number?
Same phone? No, it used to be a different number, but I don't confuse.
Oh, no wonder you can't remember it.
No, it's 9, because I never have any claims. That's
Fred, one more time, your phone number?
905-270-4727, and that's in Mississauga.
Yeah. Perfect. Thanks, Fred, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Freddie.
Well, thanks very much, guys.
Okay, Freddie actually teaches insurance and works on getting insurance law passed. He's
cool.
A smart guy.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Alrighty, we're coming close to the end of the show. We have a couple of calls waiting. So we've got a question here from Janet, which says, car accident evaluated for crash cars. Janet, what do you mean?
I had a 2012 Chrysler 200, and I was in an accident last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And both airbags deployed, and the passenger airbag smashed the front windshield.
Right.
The left front of my car was damaged. So my insurance company told me that it's a write-off,
right.
Take my plates off, and that I guess I'll have to buy a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do I know what is a reasonable amount of money that they are paying me?
That's
is
a great question.
Is there any way I can
Terry,
find
can you answer
out?
It?
Yeah, there's a couple of different resources I would recommend you look at. The first would be to go online. To websites like Kijiji and Auto Trader, where you'll find all kinds of dealers that have their similar vehicles advertised. And so you want to look for vehicles that are the same model and trim level as yours with similar kilometers. And that would be a very good tool to use. And there's also something called the Canadian Black Book. And the website is canadianblackbook.ca. And if you go on that website, it will assist you with either the wholesale or retail. And for your purposes, having written the vehicle off, you're looking at the retail value. And it will assist you with the retail value for that car.
Okay. So I should go to Auto Trader and check out similar cars, and also CanadianBlackBook.ca.
That's right.
And it's the retail value.
And that's the retail value. And it can sometimes be difficult because you might see, you know, a couple of cars that are price X, and there might be some that are a couple thousand more and some that are a couple thousand less. The ones that are a couple thousand less, perhaps these cars, you know, might have high mileage on them that's not stated in the ad. Perhaps they've been in accidents themselves, and that's why they're less value.
Yeah.
So it's important that you try to find vehicles similar to yours, in good condition, if yours had been in a previous accident, with similar mileage, and use that as a starting guide to make sure that you're getting a fair settlement.
And remember, you're going to get the value of the car plus the taxes back.
Plus taxes.
Yeah, you'll get the HST included in what they give you as a payout.
Okay.
All right, because that allows you to buy the next vehicle.
But okay. Janice, I want you to just a couple of things here. I want you to realize that the first price that they throw at you isn't necessarily the one you have to settle for.
Right.
Okay, but at the same time, you're liable to see people asking big dollars for a car that's as similar as yours. But keep in mind that that's the asking price, okay?
Yes.
So not what they ultimately sell it for. So you may see a huge difference between, you know, the advertisement in the newspaper for your car and then ultimately what they offer you. But at the same time, as Terry said, get that information. You may also want to dig up your maintenance schedule, okay, to find out what you've done so you can prove to them that you've maintained your car. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, you just put 4 new tires on it.
You know what? I just had it undercoated again.
There you go. So you want to
again, and the week before I had the oil change done again.
Right. So you want to, you know, pull up your maintenance papers. Make sure you have it handy, and then you can hopefully get a little bit more money out of them. All right.
And just before we run, just remember, I've had dealt with this just recently. They were pretty fair. I mean, they really are pretty fair when they give you the number of the car.
Okay,
so, you know, don't be too suspicious. The insurance company wants your business.
And you know what? I love cars, and I have been listening to you for years.
I know.
And I've learned so much.
Do you want to get married? Because my wife never listens to me.
I was going to say, do you want to call Dave's wife? I'll give you her cell number. All right, Janet, thanks. Good luck with your claim. If you have any more questions, call us next week. All righty?
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Dave's Corner Garage. We've got a couple callers online. We've got Irma. We've got Gabby. We're going to get to your calls right after this break.
All righty. This is the last segment. We're going to go to the phones and talk to Monica.
We have Monica on the line. She's got a question about airbags, I think. Monica,
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Okay. The Takata airbags are a big issue in today's world with automobiles.
Correct.
Is there a way to find out which vehicles have the Takata airbags?
Yes, I can help you.
Especially the new ones?
Yes, I can help you. Actually, go to our website, davescornergarage.com, and punch up Takata airbags, and you'll see the latest list there. We've got the latest list of all the recalls. And if you see your car, contact the dealer.
Okay, what about contact the dealer?
Yeah, then you're going to contact the dealer. So say you've got a BMW 328i and it's listed there, then you contact the dealer and they'll tell you, yeah, we have your list. This is what's your name. We'll call you as soon as the bags are coming in.
Yeah, because that's the other issue is that they don't have enough to replace everyone out there at this point.
Exactly.
Okay.
All righty.
I have an addendum to the question.
Yes, go ahead.
A brand new vehicle. A family member is looking to buy a brand new vehicle.
Yeah.
When he inquires and it was Ford that he talked to, they said that whether or not the vehicle he is looking at to buy, and that would be a 2017 model, that information is proprietary.
Oh, you want to know if that car has that brand of airbag in it?
Yes.
Well, you know what? I mean, they're still using these airbags. In fact, you have to understand that if you have a Takata airbag in your car, the one they're going to be replacing it with will be another Takata.
Sorry, I'm on a cell phone.
No worries.
And you're breaking up.
All right. If you want to hang up, you can listen to us on air then. The manufacturer is going to replace it with the same manufactured part. But obviously, it's going to be the upgraded one.
And also, here in Canada, we've never really had an issue. It's always southern climates, a lot of moisture in the air, and this moisture gets into the chemical that actually powers up the bag,
right,
and then it pops.
Mm-hmm.
So here in Canada, we've had zero issues. It's like, remember the Ford exploders used to have the tires go?
Yes.
Well, the same thing happened. We never had any issues here because the tires never got that hot.
Right, because the turnpikes, you know, in the States, yeah, the high pressures, high temperatures, that would cause them to blow, but
and
we
actually,
didn't have it here.
Duke, manufacturers, this is for you, Terry, in the States, they're trying to have a movement that all recalls are done on these vehicles before they're allowed to be sold.
Yeah, there's a number of different players in the U.S. trying to pass a law that you can't sell a vehicle with an outstanding safety recall.
Yeah, or rent one.
That's right.
Yeah.
It hasn't occurred there yet. There's not the movement to restrict it that much isn't here in Canada. Certainly here in Ontario, OMVIC requires dealers, if there is an outstanding safety recall, to let the purchaser know so that you know when you're buying it that you got to get, you know, especially if it's a used car, you're buying it from a non-manufacturer's dealer, like from an independent used car dealer, so that you know that's got a recall, get to the manufacturer dealership and get in line for that repair.
Now, we should quickly just mention this. It's called due diligence. You should be getting a car proof. You should be getting any recalls that are outstanding on the thing. And anything that he knows about the car that he could get information on, you're allowed to have access to.
That's right. The dealer should be providing that. But it's also important, if you do buy a used car, as the consumer now, you should let the manufacturer know you're now the owner. So
that's
any
correct.
Future recalls, you're going to be notified
right.
of.
And if you buy the car privately, like all those ads that you see all over the place, private, non-dealer, you're out of luck. You have no protection whatsoever.
And 25% of all the private classified ads here in Ontario online are curbsiders. And this is in a province with vigorous enforcement against curbsiders. British Columbia, where they don't have that kind of enforcement, would you believe it's over 60% of all online ads that appear private ads are curbsiders.
Now, for those people who haven't heard us talk about this before, you understand that curbsiders are people who sell cars.
They're illegal, unlicensed dealers. Commonly, the vehicles that they sell are accident damaged, odometer tampered. They're in the business of selling cars. They don't provide any consumer protection. And usually, once you've bought from them, they disappear. And when you discover the true nature of the vehicle that you bought, you're out of luck.
Funny story was, George was doing an undercover thing for CTV. And he goes and sees this one car from the guy curbsider. And then he goes, sees another one. It's the same guy. And the guy saw him and he ran away.
Well, generally, that's the thing. When you call for an ad and then the reply is, which car are you calling about?
Yeah.
Then you know. That,
yeah, hang up.
Got an issue here.
Now, the other issue, too, of course, is that if you're buying used, you want to get it checked by your own mechanic. Legitimate dealers have no problem with that, do they?
Many dealers don't have an issue with it. Some might. There's no law about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's really good advice, Alan. Particularly
as a matter
if the
fact,
vehicle is out of warranty, I would certainly want to get it
right.
Inspected.
In fact, you and I said that most of the complaints happen about condition.
That's right. That's the number one complaint at OMVIC is vehicle condition.
Someone is that because they've been oversold? You know, better saying, you know, like this is a car with 100,000 kilometers, so you expect to have a little wear in the seat, and you expect all these things. And so are they oversold? That's what causes the problem?
In some instances, there was a failure to disclose. I mean, we talked about all those mandatory disclosures. One of the mandatory disclosures is the vehicle requires repair to major components like engine, transmission, air conditioning.
Yes.
So if a dealer failed to disclose that, then it is an issue.
Well, sure. And let's say, for example, you like to use cruise control. Not part of a safety standard certificate.
You bought it, you own it.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so that's the end of the show. By the way, if you're on the line, hang on. We'll take your call off the air. Thanks, Terry from OMVIC.
A pleasure.
How do you get a hold of you guys?
OMVIC.ca. All the resources are there. Phone number for the complaints team, and it's all free.
And if you're a dealership and you see the guy walking up, best thing, go for a coffee. Alan, thank you again.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Well, and, you know, it's time to get your car winterized, believe it or not, even though we've had plus 100 temperatures.
What's the number to reach you?
416-665-6230. I had a listener in this week, as a matter of fact.
Very good. Fast
very
and honest.
Nice fellow.
Fast and honest is what their logo is. I always ask for fast. So.
Well, I'm the honest one. And,
Sebastian, thank you so much. Keep the shiny side up, the greasy side down. We'll see you next week. Actually, we'll hear you next week.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Who cares about the clouds and we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sun.
sunny weather, happy trails to you. Till we meet again, happy trails to you.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.